Hi everybody, I'm Emily, I'm the Pulse with Overeater.
Hi.
Hi, so first off, I came here last year and like I think has already been mentioned, I put my name on the board and it says, you know, your name, Emily, and what service would you like to do? And I was obviously so like loved up with fellowship and recovery, I said, whatever my higher power has in store. So here I am. So I've been asked to give a little bit of my OA story, including a description of abstinence, share how I approach step three, and describe the daily actions that I take to maintain my recovery. So that's going to be my aim for the share. So firstly, a bit of my OA story. I can tell you how I did it, which didn't work and led to my relapse for myself, and then how I did it, which led to my recovery. So in 2010, I came to OA. I always knew about OA, and I came to OA, and God love us, it was a meeting. There was no recovery there. There was two other fellows, and we hadn't found recovery, and I drove miles to get there, and it was bloody freezing hall. And long story short, I asked a sponsor who didn't have OA recovery to sponsor me. And I said, I've done steps 1, 2, and 3, because I've done them myself in my head, you know. Let's crack on with step 4. And that's not the way to do it. I think I managed, like, I don't know, a few months, and then left. And then I had a year of absolute hell in the food. And I needed that year, because it really got me to my rock bottom. And so I did know that OA worked, and I remember having a conversation with my ex-boyfriend, and he said, what if it doesn't work? What are you gonna do? I said, no, it will. It has to, and I know it does. So in 2011, I drove miles again, and I was an anxious mess driving on the motorway. I hated it. And I got to the meeting, and there was recovery there. So I guess that's the first thing that worked for me, was to find a meeting with recovery. And that glow we speak about, you know, these ladies had it. And, you know, at the end of the meeting, I was shaking, I was bright red, I was overweight, I was uncomfortable. It was, you know, it was what it was. But at the end of the meeting, you know, I said to them, I know you can't tell me what to do, but please, what do I do? And the lady, one of the ladies who then became my sponsor, said, plan and pray. So step three, if you look at it and how it's written, obviously, firstly, it's the first step that has the word God. So God, as we understood him. Well, my God isn't a he, her, them. It's a concept. I just found it in things that were physically bigger than me. So for me, that was the ocean, the sea, mountains, trees that had been there 100 years, like anything that was just bigger than me and that was visual, and that I could start to feel a bit of peace when I was around that. That's what I started with. And yeah, that day in, you know, it was December, it was 2 weeks before Christmas, December 2011, and I came back and I got on my hands and knees and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I've been abstinent by the grace of God since then. And my abstinence has changed. And I think this is important to share for my story. I was 24 years old when I came into program. And I was so messed up with my relationship with food that when people spoke about like red lists and trigger foods, I was really confused by what that was for me. And so the beginning part of my recovery of becoming abstinent, I put a lot of food down, and I actually became a little bit restrictive in it. And I remember, you know, like messaging a fellow, really stressing out over my Christmas dinner and what was going to be in the gravy, if there was going to be a bit of fat in the gravy. And I remember, you know, a bit later on, going to a restaurant and like ringing it, but like not just once, you know, like repeatedly, really concerned about how much different things, try not to mention foods, but was gonna, you know, be in the food. So what I'm trying to say is, I lost the weight, I got a sponsor, I worked the program, and it says, doesn't it, there's a bit, I've written it down somewhere, I might not be able to find it. We accept that even a perfect body, if there was such a thing, would not make us happy. So, yeah, you know, I lost a lot of weight. I was still pretty bonkers around the food, you know. So my abstinence today is no refined sugar in the form, really, mainly of puddings and things like that. But it's also to not be too restrictive. I have to keep the balance. So that's important for me to share that because, you know, that's my truth, basically. So the first little paragraph here is step one, isn't it? So that's the first lesson, that's the first mistake I made. I thought I'd done step one, two, and three, let's crack on. But you have to do step one. Then it talks about step two, you know, and then step three. So let me gather my thoughts a minute. Yeah, so how did I do it? So I got a sponsor who had recovery. And the way that sponsor had me do the steps was she would write me some questions. And I'd go away and I'd answer them. And then we'd meet up and we'd share the questions and we did that through the steps. And I can't remember. I could have tried to dig them out, but I didn't, what actual questions it was around step three. But that's how I did it originally in 2011. And then I did them again with another sponsor, The Big Book Way, and we met and we studied The Big Book together. And how has it helped my recovery? Well, it's a tricky one. Like, made a decision, so it's a decision that I make repeatedly, or try to, you know, to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Like, that's big, isn't it? It says in there, you know, it's something like it's simple but not easy. And it's such a gift that I came into program young, you know, at 24, and through program and through working the program and getting obstinate and getting honest, you know, I realised I was gay and I came out, you know, and now I have a wife and I have two children. So the things that I've had to turn my will and my life over to my higher power were big things, like, you know, fertility treatment. I don't know what my higher power's will is, but I'm choosing to believe it's to be a mum, you know, like. So how did I do that? Well, I just had to really break it down. Like, what's the next action then to be able to have kids the way that I want? Give me the strength to do it, you know, and really break that down. And I'm very fortunate it worked. I've got two beautiful children. And you don't get to control life. You know, there's been really hard parts of my life. And I guess I just try to hand it over. And my higher power for me isn't in control of that element of my life. I don't see it like that, you know. I've got bipolar, I've been really poorly with it, and psychotic. I don't believe that's my higher power's will for me by any stretch. It's not that my higher power controls that. But I think my higher power gives me the courage and the strength to do what I need to help. And I remember being really acutely unwell, like rummaging around in the freezer, getting like my food out for the next day, you know, because I planned what I was going to eat the next day. I think my higher power helps me when I'm anxious. And I don't mean like sat here feeling anxious because I'm about to share. I mean like chronic anxiety with mental health, you know, in the sense that because I've put the food down, I can't have a voice because that was part of my disease. You know, I would squish all my thoughts, my feelings down, but it means that I can, you know, be honest with people and I can do what I need to keep well. What else can I tell you about step three? I've written this as well. We are individuals with our own individual nutritional needs. This is what it says in step three. And we have found that what is a healthy choice for some of us might be lethal for others. So I was the absolute queen of compare and despair. And just the way my brain works, I'm all or nothing. And I can really latch on to other people and what they say and do and things like that. And chatting about it over breakfast, you know, you come into OA and there's no do this, you know, it's suggestions, people work it differently, people's problem foods are different than other people's. And for me, having trying to aim for long time recovery and abstinence, you know, the nutritional side has had to change. It has to change. You know, it's had to change whilst I've done some night shifts. It's had to change when I was pregnant and I was literally like throwing up over myself with morning sickness. It was dreadful. It had to change when I was breastfeeding. You know, and I've managed that to tweak a food plan that works for that. So yeah, I think that's important. Trying to not, for me, think I've got to do everything, you know, and try and, oh, that went so fast. okay, let me just have a quick look at what else I wanted to say. Yeah, intuition. This is another thing that I got from reading about the step. You know, this idea of God being like my intuitive thought. And when I'm in the food, I don't have that. Like, I just don't have that. It blocks me from a higher power. And sometimes now, yeah, it's still hard. I can still obviously get in my own head. I always will. I'm an addict. And this is a little example. I don't know if this will make sense. But my wife's, we realised my wife had a flat tyre. And I realised this at like 9:30 at night. And we had a really busy weekend of different things and needing the car, sorting the kids out. And obviously my natural head went into, well, we're going to have to cancel, rejig the whole weekend, or you're going to go on the motorway and have a crash. All like just, you know, crazy. What does my wife do? She just rings, you know, a mechanic, and he just comes out and changes the tyre. It was that simple. You know, we live in the city, so that can be done at that time of night. Yeah, who'd have thought? I think, what else have I put? Oh yeah, a couple of things here, right. So, my house, you know that thing like be careful what you pray for? So it's a miracle I have a wife, and it's a miracle I have my two children. And if I was in the food, I do not know if I'd have that or how I'd do that. But my life is still hard. Like, what is it? Life is lifey. I've heard that expression this weekend. Both my kids have additional needs. And somebody once said to me years ago, you know, if you think I'm recovered, like, come into my house and see what it's like. Well, if you came into my house, it's fairly chaotic and mental at times. And why am I sharing this? I guess because I'm learning at the moment where I'm at. I've got a 5 and a 7-year-old. You know, I used to have this lovely morning routine. I used to do my readings. I used to like pray, and it used to be so chill. And then like my mornings are not like that now. I'm not always very patient. It can be really, really hard. But that said, I'm abstinent, and that's all it says, isn't it, really, the steps? That's all we're really doing, in my view, is we're getting through our life as it is, whatever that brings up for us, without eating on it. You know, so my kids are driving me insane. I'm not eating on it. Well, my wife's driving me insane, and sometimes it's like, right, God, if it's your will for me to be married, like, you better give me the strength to do this. Literally. And I wanted to end on two things. One of them, my first convention I came to, I think it must have been 2012, and this Scottish lass, she was brilliant, stood up and she went, I effing love myself. And I turned, not at the swearing, and I turned round and I thought, you love yourself? Wow. Didn't know that was a thing. So for any newcomers here that didn't realise you could love yourself, like, yeah, sharing that to give you the permission that actually you can. And then last night, I can't sit here and not just talk really quickly about last night. We had a little dance and karaoke, and it was amazing. And I was dancing on the dance floor, enjoying myself and moving my body and having a laugh, you know, not worrying what I look like, not worrying what other people might have thought what I look like or what my arms look like or whatever. It was really, you know, joyous and free. And, you know, yeah, I think that was a real higher power moment of doing my higher power's will, which is to, I was asking people, what do you do for fun? You know, like, I can be very serious. But yeah, that was really good fun. I think I might leave it there. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening.